Hello, everybody, and welcome. With Bob Christopher, this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. Our listener lines are open, and we'll welcome your calls now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question, or if you're dealing with some difficult personal issue, let us hear from you. The lines are open, so call now, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Happy Monday, everyone. Welcome to Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. So glad you were with us today. Looking forward to a great time. We have a great 30 minutes of talking about the knowledge of God, the grace of God is revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. If you have questions you would like to ask on today's broadcast, right now is the time to pick up that phone and call 844-322-2742. What is our greatest asset as believers in Christ Jesus? What is our greatest asset as a body of Christ? Well, our greatest asset, according to the Word of God, is our knowledge of God the Father. We have something the world does not have. We know God. We know Him personally. We know Him intimately. And we have gained this knowledge through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us about this in his letter to the Corinthians, his second letter to the Corinthians. He says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So God is desiring to reveal Himself to mankind. He is not hiding. He is not up in the clouds, hiding behind those clouds so that no one can find Him, no one can see Him. No, He is making Himself known, and He has always been making Himself known. The prophets of old said, He's not far away, He's near, and we can discover who He is. Well, He's even made it simpler for us. He has revealed Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. It is the God of this world that is trying to suppress that knowledge, is trying to blind the minds of unbelievers, those who are perishing. But those who have been humbled, their eyes are going to be opened, and they're going to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So Paul goes on to say, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves. What we proclaim is Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." What did you and I need? We needed the knowledge of the glory of God. Well, God has made that known to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ, in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, when we receive Him, when we recognize who God is, what He's really like, we respond to Him through faith. We respond to Him through that full measure of trust, and we're made new. And that knowledge of God is deposited into our hearts. We call that the truth. What is truth? Well, it is God Himself. He is ultimate reality. Jesus Christ said that about Himself. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is ultimate reality. So when we receive Jesus, that knowledge of truth, that knowledge of God, is deposited into our hearts. And we can make that knowledge known out there in the world. It is our greatest asset. It is what we have that the world desperately needs. It's what you and I desperately needed at some point in our lives. We needed the true knowledge of God. And somebody loved us enough, somebody cared for us enough to tell us about Jesus Christ, to tell us that He died for our sins. He stood in our place and took our judgment, our punishment, our penalty. What do we learn from that act of sacrifice that Jesus did 2,000 years ago, that God is love, God is forgiving, God is kind, God has something for us in the person of Jesus Christ. So we hear that and we learn something about God. We hear that Jesus was buried and that he was raised on the third day. Well, what do we learn about God? That he is powerful, that he is so powerful he can overcome death. We see that in the resurrection. We see it in the gospel when God raises us up so that we can walk in the newness of life. This is the knowledge that we needed. This is the knowledge that was given to us when somebody loved us enough to tell us the good news story of Jesus Christ. Now we have that great privilege of opening our mouths and telling that story as well, so that others can gain the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you're listening today and if you've never come to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're still wondering what God is like, I hope today will be your day of salvation, that you will see in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ the knowledge of God that will save you and make you new in Christ Jesus. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. So glad you were with us. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your day. And we are so happy and thrilled that you're a part of our day as well. Well, this month we have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands. It's my book entitled Love Is. It's an in-depth look at the definition of love as Paul lays it out for us in 1 Corinthians 13. We know that as the love chapter, and most of us have heard it numerous times, maybe at weddings and those sort of things, but it's something that needs to go beyond just a wedding ceremony and really impact our day-to-day lives. Well, Paul uses 15 action statements to tell the story of God's love. Do you want to know how God loves you? Do you want to know how that love changes you from the inside out? Well, this book is for you. Again, the title is Love Is. It's available through basicgospel.net. Just go to our website, click on the donate button, follow all the instructions, and be sure to request your copy of Love Is, and we'll send it to you as quickly as we possibly can. And in that book, you're going to gain some knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to gain some knowledge of God. Why? Because God is love. That's his essence. That's his nature. And that's what we learn about God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we continue to learn about God as we grow in grace and grow in our knowledge of him. Again, go to basicgospel.net, click on the donate button or the big banner right there on the front page and request your copy of Love Is. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. 844-322-2742 is the number, 844-322-2742. If you have a question about a particular passage in the Word of God, maybe a question about something that you're going through, looking for hope, looking for wisdom, looking for encouragement, well, take advantage of this opportunity and call right now. Well, in the meantime, we're going to go to our phone lines and start in Fayetteville, North Carolina with Andrew. Andrew, you're on the line.
Good evening. Good to hear your voice again. Sounds like you doing double duty by yourself today.
I'm going solo, but not really solo. I've got the Spirit of God living in me. We've got a whole team of people on the other side of the window, so it's a team effort as every single day.
Amen. I was thinking about inside. I'm trying to see, like on Ephesians 6, about, 10 through 17, about the armor of God. And I was thinking, when a person is saved, I was thinking that they have the armor of God. And what this is talking about is just enacting it, because, there's only two types of people in the New Testament, those who are saved and those who aren't. I was wondering if you could kind of give us some enlightenment on that.
Well, I think you're exactly right, Andrew. We've already been given this. We've been outfitted in the armor of God. I mean, we have the helmet of salvation. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have the belt of truth. We have all of those things. That's part of the gospel. And when you look at all of these elements of the armor, you see that they're all different facets of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we've been given this. Now, we live in a world that's filled with worldly temptations, that's filled with ungodliness, that's filled with lies and deceit and all of those sort of things. So we need to put this on. It's kind of a admonition and encouragement to us to let this armor be reflected in our attitudes. Let this armor be reflected in how we live day to day. For example, Andrew, you're going to have all kinds of voices accusing you. You're going to think from time to time that you're not worthy to be called a child of God, that certainly with some of the things that you think, some of the things that you've done, some of the things that you've said, you have this voice, this voice of accusation that says, how can you call yourself a Christian and think those things? Well, now you have the helmet of salvation. You have the mind of Christ. You can just say to those voices of accusation, your accusations hold no water. If God is for me, who's going to be against me? So it's actually utilizing the armor of God against those opposing voices, against those opposing temptations, against those things that come at you from the world in which you live, or the desires of the flesh that are within those within the members of your very body. So it's saying, hey, you've been given the armor of God. Utilize it. Be strong in the Lord. And that's what it means, is utilize this truth, utilize this grace, utilize this armor against those things that come against you in day-to-day life.
Okay, so I was just trying to make sure. And then thank you so much for that incitement, because sometimes people take this and say, you know, you have to put on more things to become stronger. And it's just like sometimes people say, in order to be really filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to have the gift of tongues. So that seems like adding some additions into the Word of God.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Paul was very clear in Colossians chapter 1, in him you are complete. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ, and in him we are complete. So there's nothing more to add to us. We have been given the full armor of God. We've been changed from the inside out. So it's simply saying utilize it. Live that out in your day-to-day experience. I love what Paul said in Ephesians 5:8. He says this, for at one time you were darkness. That's who you once were. Mm-hmm. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So when he says, put on the whole armor of God, he's just simply saying, walk as one that has been fully equipped to live out the truth of the gospel in this crazy world in which we live. I mean, mm-hmm. Andrew, for you and I to live out who we are as children of God, we're going to have to live that out in a world that is not for us, in a world that is against us, in a world that is constantly trying to drag us down, in a world that is constantly accusing us and trying to make us think that we're not children of God. So if we're going to live out who we are, we're going to have to do it amidst all of these opposing forces of darkness, aren't we?
Correct. Thank you.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, the NBA playoffs are happening right now. And if, Kawhi Leonard is going to shoot, make 40 points in a game, he's going to have to do it with a lot of hands in front of his face, a lot of bodies trying to keep him from the goal and all of those sort of things. Well, that's the same with us as children of God. If we're going to live out who we are, we've got political forces opposing us. We have economic forces opposing us. We have social forces opposing us. We have religious forces opposing us. We have philosophical forces opposing us. We have a whole gamut of forces standing against us. But guess what? The one who is inside is greater than all of those forces combined. He has outfitted us with a full body of armor. We are equipped to stand against those forces. He never says fight them. He just says stand against them. And when all of those forces have thrown their darts at you, guess what? You're going to still be standing. That is the power of Christ in you.
Amen. Thank you so much. That was awesome. Appreciate you so much. I knew I'd get correct answers always. God bless.
You too, Andrew. Thanks for your call. Always love to hear from you, my friend.
Same for me. I love your conversations. Thank you so much. God bless.
Well, God bless you as well. Let's go to this call that came in overnight.
Hi. My question is about the Holy Spirit. I always thought that the Holy Spirit was like God's Spirit. But then I heard someone ask a question the other day if the Holy Spirit was its own entity. And I was just wondering if you could clear up the Holy Spirit for me. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Well, that's a great question, and it really gets down to this idea of the Trinity. There's a plurality within the Godhead. We see that at the very beginning in Genesis when he says, let us make man in our image. Who's the us? Who's the our? Well, as we read through the Word of God, we understand that the Godhead is made up of three persons. He's one essence. God is one essence, but he's made up in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we see these three separate persons carrying out different roles. For example, in 1 Peter, we see that it's God the Father in his foreknowledge, the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Holy Spirit and the obedience to Jesus Christ for the sprinkling with his blood. So we see the three having a role in our salvation. God in his foreknowledge brought Jesus into this world. Jesus is the foreknowledge of God. He was the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of this world. And God's Spirit goes all throughout the world, bringing this knowledge of Christ to our hearts. He sets us apart for this salvation, this great salvation that was brought about through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit, he is co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. He makes up the fullness of the Godhead. So that's what we need to see. There's this Godhead, one in essence, one in nature, three indistinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We know that God sent the Spirit, sent the Holy Spirit into this world to do some things. And the first thing was to convict the world wrong about sin, to convict the world wrong about righteousness, to convict the world wrong about judgment concerning sin, because the world does not believe in Jesus Christ. That is the sin of man, our unbelief, our rejection of God that has been revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Well, the Holy Spirit gives us the knowledge of that and then shows us the reality of Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. And when we believe, the Holy Spirit regenerates us and then comes to live inside of us. So now as children of God, we are led by the Spirit. Well, what does the Spirit of God do? Well, he guides us into all truth. So it's the Spirit of God that is bringing truth to these minds of ours, renewing our minds so that we can begin to think the thoughts of God. We can begin to live day to day operating through the very mind of Jesus Christ. So he guides us into all truth. He takes the things of the Lord Jesus and makes them known to us. He gives us an understanding of the love of God, the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God, so that surpasses just an intellectual knowledge of it, but it can become experiential. That's what the Spirit of God does. So he empowers us to live as children of God in this crazy world in which we live in. So the Holy Spirit, co-equal with God the Father and God the Son, the third member, so to speak, of the Godhead, but one in essence. So God is one. He's manifested himself in three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Well, I hope that helps. It's a great question, and certainly one that has been a topic of discussion for thousands of years. Trying to figure out God, he's an infinite being. He stands outside of time. We are finite beings. We are in time and space. So trying to figure him out, that's going to take us forever. And that's why we've been given eternity to grow in our knowledge of God, to really ascertain everything about him. But that's going to be as he continues to reveal himself to us. And that revelation is going to be given to us by the very person of the Holy Spirit. Well, again, thanks for that. We sure appreciate that question and hope that was helpful. We have this question that came in to us from Jay in Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan. And it is a question that comes from a book by Major Ian Thomas. And Major Ian Thomas was a huge influence on our ministry and certainly in my life. And he asked this in Major Thomas's book, The Indwelling Life of Christ. He states that the only evidence any one of us can give of such dependence on him is our unquestioning obedience to him. So Jay wants to know what unquestioning obedience to him looks like in everyday life where the rubber meets the road. Well, Major Thomas has this threefold moral relationship. It begins with the love of God. God is love. That's where everything begins as far as this gospel message is concerned. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So the love of God is the initiating force in the gospel. Will we respond to that love? So God's love for us results in our love for him, which results in our dependence upon him, which then results in our obedience to him. So an unquestioning obedience to God the Father is going to come as we truly understand his great love for us, and then we respond to him in faith. And that's what it means to truly love God, is that we're trusting him and we're depending upon him. And then when he tells us something to do, then we don't question it because we know it's for our benefit. We know it's for our ultimate good, and it's for a purpose that is greater than ourselves, that is beyond just our life, our little sphere of influence. So we can't look at obedience just in a vacuum. We need to tie it to our dependence upon God. We need to tie that dependence upon God to our love of God, which we need to tie to God's love of us. So obedience is merely the caboose. It is the byproduct. It is the result. So it's the love of God that results in our love for God, which results in our dependence upon God, which then results in our obedience to God. That's how God has set it up in this great gospel message. To know more, to learn more about that, I encourage you to request my book, Love Is. It's available at basicgospel.net for a donation of any amount this month. So be sure and request your copy. Well, we'll see you again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.